go with Jesus. There came a voice out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son. Hear him." Jesus wants us to be with him where he is. As he said just before he was crucified, "I will come again and take you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." He wants us to be with him in every sense of the word, the divine word, the Logos, the incarnate word, physically, mentally, spiritually. He wants us to be with him in his vision, with him in his mission, with him in heaven, with him on earth. Jesus invites us to be with him in the mountaintop of prayer and in the valley of service. Emmanuel, that is, God is with us. Throughout this Epiphany season this year, we've looked at several topics from the Scriptures, beginning with the wise men who came to worship Jesus. Even though they were from a different culture and a different religion and a different place, God had shown them that they should come and worship this newborn king. And they did. We talked about then the baptism of Jesus and how John said, "I'm not even worthy to untie your shoes. You should be baptizing me." But Jesus insisted and was baptized in the waters of the Jordan. We talked about the miracle at Cana when Jesus turned the water into wine. I remember emphasizing, and it's been kind of sticking in my mind every sermon since for the last several weeks, don't miss miracles just because you don't believe in miracles. Don't miss the miracle just because you don't believe in them. And then we talk about Jesus going to his home church, church like ours, and declaring his mission, delineating that as he brought today to his generation the words of Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, has anointed me to do these works, to preach, to heal, to liberate." Then we looked again that week and this past week at the cost of unbelief as his friends and family at his church decided they'd rather throw him off a cliff than follow that mission or do that type of work in their community or let him do it. Then this week, the Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John went up into the mountain with Jesus to pray and had this wonderful experience that we just read about in the Scriptures, a meeting with Elijah and Moses. Consider the common threads in these passages. Number one, Jesus is on a mission from God. From the very beginning, from the very beginning when Gabriel announced his birth to Mary, all the way through all of these events, and all the way to the cross, and to the throne in glory, and to our church service here this morning. Jesus Christ is on a mission, not just to hang out, but to a mission from God to complete these works that he laid out right at the beginning, to preach, to heal, to liberate. And he conducts this as he always has, and as he enables and empowers us to do by the power of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the Lord upon him. Another threat is that a lot of people miss those blessings that he comes to give us. Amen? We miss them a lot of times. Sometimes, you know, and that's what I said last week, the high cost of unbelief is measured in our what could have been and what we miss out on. That's the price we pay. A lot of people miss that. We miss that. Other people do. And these people did in these passages. For instance, Herod and the religious leaders at the birth of Christ, they missed the whole thing, even though they knew where he was to be born and sent the wise men on their way. The Pharisees at the baptism of Jesus, while he was calling everybody and helping them to see what to do and what kind of changes to make in their lives to be ready to receive Christ, they scoffed and they received only the words of John saying, "Ye brood of vipers." At the wedding, when the miracle came, everybody benefited from getting the wine that was made out of water, but only the servants who put the water in the jugs actually got to know what happened. That's the best blessing, I think, at that wedding, don't you, of that miracle, to be one of the servants that put the water in the jar. And, you know, as we look around our congregation, that's the way I picture Jesus' church at Nazareth. Not, or any church back then, you know, not just, I don't picture you as the church of Nazareth, but in other words, he was in his church where he loved all of them and they loved each other and everybody, you know, and they had their potlucks and had their offering and their praise songs and all the things that they did, worship God together every Sunday and Wednesday night. They had their service, you know, all the programs that they had, just like we do and other churches all around our community have. But consider what they missed out on. All of them missed the blessings that he came right there to give. Amen. And in this today's passage, they went up into the mountain to pray. Peter, James, and John went with Jesus. They saw Moses and Elijah. But all the other disciples didn't get this experience. They may have had others' experiences, didn't tell about. A lot of other things might have happened, but this one, they weren't there. And they didn't know about it until after the resurrection when Peter, James, and John then told the story about what had happened. Even the appearances of the resurrection were only to the believers in the 40 days after the resurrection. Often Jesus told the beneficiaries of his healings not to tell anybody. He said, "Go and don't publish this. Don't tell anybody." Usually they did, but they couldn't help it. But he told them not to tell. When he sent his disciples on a missionary journey, then he told them to take the sandals off and shake the dust from their sandals if anybody didn't accept the blessings that they were offering to them. Even the Great Commission, where we are instructed to go into the world and preach the gospel, teach everybody and make disciples and help them to come into an understanding of this faith, we're sent in that context of this revelation of Jesus to those whose hearts and minds were open to receive what he was offering to us, who recognize their need for a Savior, who are willing to invest what they can of their trust in Jesus, and who are willing to accept the call to join the body of Christ in the mission for which Jesus Christ gave his life and his death and his life after death. This passage of Scripture tells us about a meeting on the mountaintop with Jesus, the Messiah, Peter, James, and John, the disciples, and Moses and Elijah, the two prophets, who one, Moses had died in Mount Nebo hundreds and hundreds of years before, and Elijah, actually almost a couple of thousand years before, and Moses and was there, and Elijah, who never died but was carried away in the fiery chariot, hundreds of years before Christ. All of them meeting together on the top of this mountain. What a glorious experience. And then one more glorious experience to bring it all together as the great cloud that is associated always in the Scripture with the Shekinah glory of God, the same kind of a cloud that was there at the baptism of Jesus, the one that filled the temple at the dedication of Solomon's temple. The cloud that went before the children of Israel, a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, this cloud. And out of the cloud a voice. And out of the voice, and that voice speaking word of encouragement and instruction to those who would listen. "This is my son. Hear him." Jesus and his disciples then returned to the valley, leaving Moses and Elijah in glory. Jesus continued his work with the disciples, praying with them, teaching them, and empowering them. Together, they continued in ministry to the people of their country who lived in an environment of oppression and poverty and political manipulation. People who had very little education. There was widespread superstition and self-serving religious and political leaders. There was a constant tension and a conflict amongst all the various groups and factions. That sounds so foreign, doesn't it? So far away from our lives today, man. Not really. It's so much the same, only it's a different generation with the different forms that these problems took. But that's where they went to minister to the people in that situation and to fulfill the mission of Jesus Christ for their generation to preach and heal and liberate. So this then is the invitation that is in this passage today. One of the many invitations we can find in that passage. To go to the mountaintop with Jesus. Go with Jesus to the mountaintop. Spend some time there. There's a song that Linda Randall sings, for the God on the mountaintop is still God in the valley. It's based on clear back in the Old Testament, 2 Kings. And there came a man of God and spake unto the king of Israel and said, Thus saith the Lord. Because the Syrians have said, The Lord is God of the hills, but he is not God of the valleys. Therefore will I deliver all this great multitude into thine hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Christ invites us to come up here, sit with him in the heavenly places. The mountaintop experience is what happens when we intentionally go apart to be with Jesus. Spend a little bit of time with him in prayer and in spiritual refreshing. And while we're there then, he invites us to be with him in the presence of God. Even though God is everywhere, as David wrote, I can go up to the highest mountain or down to the deepest sea, or we might say today we could go to the furthest point of outer space, or wherever that we might go, God is present there. And yet, like the song says, there is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. That's where Christ invites us to come with him, in that mountaintop type of experience, to that quiet place near to the heart of God, where prayer unites us with Jesus, where prayer unites us with each other, where prayer unites us with all who have or whoever will enter the presence of God, Christ, present and future. And then Jesus invites us to go back into the valley with him, to our own daily lives, to achieve the goals and the dreams and aspirations that we have, to complete our projects and enjoy our relationships, to celebrate the joys and the celebrations that take place in our daily lives, and to confront the challenges and deal with the painful realities, to work with our hopes and dreams and our goals. To our own daily life of the surrounding circumstances in our generation, just as they worked in those in theirs, of social, political, and economic environment that is ours today, of the education and religious circumstances of our generation, and amid the clash of cultures and ideologies and aspirations of the people around us. Christ invites us to go with him into the valley to do the mission of Christ, to join Jesus in the work that he is already doing amongst our family and our friends and our community, to preach, to heal, and to liberate, under the anointing of the Holy Ghost and in the name of Jesus. Amen.